Welcome. My name is Unity Stokes, co-founder at Startup Health. Today we are speaking with Mehmet Kazgan, the CEO and co-founder of Clieksa, longtime health transformer in Startup Health. And Clieksa is a clinical intelligence platform. So we're going to learn all about the innovation that they've been focusing on in the age of AI and really some of the big news and partnerships that they've been working on that are really making a tremendous impact for patients and clinicians. Stick around. Hello,
Hello.
sir. How are
How are
you?
you? Good. How are you?
I am great. It's always great to see you. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Just crank it up, like hammering it out every day. It's fun. It's good. We're growing. It's really good.
I am so excited to have this conversation with you because I know you have a lot of news. You've been making extraordinary progress.
Thank you. Yeah.
You've been on the cutting edge of AI in healthcare way before many others were even focusing on it as a concept. Excited to dig into all of that. And why don't we just start at the beginning? I know we've covered some of this ground before, but it's always good to get an update because I feel like in a post GPT AI world, we always need to reframe where we are. And you guys, as I mentioned, have been on the cutting edge. How do you guys describe CLEX today? And really, I think of you as a clinical intelligence platform, but what does that really mean? What's your mission? How do you describe what you're doing today?
Yeah, I think it's easy to answer that because people are really familiar and ready for it. But I think Unity, the best way to describe is we're strongly claiming that clinical reasoning space right now. So the way that if you look at the healthcare waves, I keep talking about a lot, you have seen the EMRs coming through with the records and billing, and then you get interconnectivity with Cures Act for a while with connecting data here and there. Then you got into the AI scribe world, like today, that things are getting better. But now, after those three waves, what we have been working on was the clinical reasoning by enabling AI. And that clinical reasoning is think about wide variety of data points you're thinking through, and it's constantly changing. We worked on about 8 years to build a clinical reasoning engine to look at different data points, focusing on mostly complex conditions. We focused on opioids, we focused on cardiovascular with those names that we put together, and Mayo Clinic and American College of Cardiology. And those are the names that we work with. Back in the days, we were building an engine, but without a car frame, it didn't make sense. Now, today, there are a lot of frames and people are looking for the best engine. So we're that engine today, claiming that real medical necessity, clinical reasoning that learns and really responds quick with that intelligence where you can use it for patient engagement, provider intelligence, or even billing. That's what we describe today.
So let's break this down. So first of all, you're integrated directly into the EMR
Correct.
for a health system. So there's like a seamless workflow for the clinicians, but you're also working right up front with patients as they're coming in. Is that correct?
Correct. So it is very interesting we talk about this. So I usually now talk about that as there's a patient provider clinician interface, and there's the post visit, which is administrative billing interface. So the same brain actually is working in a very distinctive way with three stages at the same time. So if the patient is coming on board or you're monitoring a patient, you need to have a clinical intelligence as to what to ask, what to track, what to onboard, and how I need to evaluate the insurance so I know what I can do for the patient. Vice versa, the patient wants to be transparent about what this entity can do for me. Now there's ChatGPT. What is it that I can use for using AI tools that I can get online versus what I can do with this specialized entity that I'm going with? On the provider side, it's the same idea of I need to ask the right question, even though I'm using an AI scribe that transcribes what we have spoken and then we just create the note. Doesn't really solve the problem of really, did you cover the conversation that really mattered at that point? 5 minutes ago, you get a radiotherapy radio. A radiologist notes that changes that conversation into a different context. Or if you're a biller, am I really learning what has happened on the onboarding and the provider conversation side to build the medical necessity to fix the issues on my side? So they're really connected to each other, but imagine a clinical reasoning in the background. Most of the entities will come and say, we need to solve this problem. We need to solve that problem. It also comes from the clinical reasoning. So now it gives us an opportunity to say, imagine this system is not publicly trained model. This is a model that was trained on similar patient population, but now it calibrates into your world today. So it starts operating with your benchmarks. That's one way to explain it. But yes,
So
we're behind the scenes in the EMRs.
this reasoning, clinical reasoning, you use the word brain, which I love, intelligence. We're living in a new age of AI, and you've been on the cutting edge. Your background, you've worked at places like Google, cybersecurity. You've just got a tremendous, I think, extraordinary background that's been innovating from the technology side of how to really transform health and healthcare for so many years. Speak a little bit about this new moment and how an innovator like yourself, who you've been thinking about how to leverage AI and technology for many years, you've been working on this. What's different now? What are you able to do now that is just really exciting that, to you, where it seems like you're tying together the patient, the clinician, and even the billing insights and all these other insights, and bringing it all together as one kind of back-end system designed right into the workflow of the EMR. But what's possible today, and how are you thinking about that? And I know we're going to talk about some of your big news and some of the actual case examples that you have with places like Mayo Clinic, but let's just start with, we're in this new moment. How, as an innovator, how do you think about it? What's exciting to you?
Yeah, so I think I will tell you personally what is exciting to me is really seeing what AI is capable of doing. Like every day we work with it, we have been working on this, but now we have customers and real examples to really see that A, adoption, and B, how quickly they can actually see the things that you couldn't sell or tell before. I think the first response to that question, Unity, is really people are now ready for AI. They understand the concept of it, at least what it's capable of. So that has changed tremendously after ChatGPT, OpenAI, Anthropic, and people are right now is not about the hype. It's am I missing an opportunity here? Kind of
Right.
attitude, right? So health systems like our customers that or prospective customers, they're all looking into doing things themselves, enabling AI. Or they're trying to figure out what is the best solutions to get. So it has also like cons to it, but pros for us is like we don't have to convince people that AI would solve problems. People are seeing that as on daily usage themselves, that, oh my God, this is really solving and getting me more efficient. So this repetitive task and automation perspective, that's why you're seeing the hype with AI scribes. It's not risky, right? So it just converts that conversation into a template that you can easily do instead of using your pajama time in the past. It's very efficient. I don't have to worry about it. I can edit it. It just does the things for me. There are things that we could have worried about a little bit. It saves me time. It's quick. So that opened a lot of doors to capabilities perspective. They can see, oh, if it can do an AI scribe, I think it can do that, so we welcome it. That's why it's different today, that I don't have to convince people about AI is capable of doing things. That's why I was talking about early 2018 and 19. We need to do this solution implementation so AI can be enabled. That's where they're like, I don't know. So they weren't ready. Now it's the time. People have seen it, they're using it daily. That's the biggest difference to
That's so
empathy.
fascinating because everyday consumers are using it and comfortable with it. Billions of people are now using the front-end interface of AI. But I think what you're saying is very profound. The most sophisticated, the most secure, the most compliance-oriented organizations, we're talking about law firms, we're talking about financial institutions, and we're talking about healthcare firms, and we're talking about governments, are now using these tools as critical infrastructure. And it's somehow shifted from a construct within maybe an IT department to, hey, this is becoming critical infrastructure for what we do. So there's a different, you don't have to sell in the same way. It's more, we've been working on this credibly. We've validated this with some of the best healthcare brands for many years now. Here's how we can implement it. And you go way beyond scribes, and
Correct.
you're more of a full stack integration in terms of providing that intelligence. Is that correct?
Correct. The way that you explained is correct. AI Scribe is just the feature that you can enable that intelligence. You can use the same intelligence, like think about clinical intelligence in medical necessity format. Can I come up with the most optimal medical necessity to do X for a patient today? Is that the best option for me? AI says, I benchmarked it. I looked at it. I think this is the best pathway. If you take the same intelligence and apply into the post-visit or surgical post-claim billing perspective, did I get denied because I didn't use the same clinical logic, medical necessity reasoning for it? Or did I really prioritize the patients coming through my referral funnel? Did I prioritize them properly because they need more and quicker care for myself to build an equity? How do I know that? You look at your baseline. So if you can tell your clinical intelligence, look at the picture here. So I usually describe it in a way, there are a lot of systems that you have a table of Legos and you're like, or a puzzle for that matter. I want to build a two-story house 10 by 10 with red at the bottom and white on the top. Sure. So what you do is you start grouping like kind of the puzzle pieces or Legos into a different structure with the number of pieces they have and the colors, then you start building it. That's what we still operate in many ways, right? Manual or automated, that we call it a workflow, a process, and there's a people to do it. What AI enables today is you just have a camera, you look at the picture, you don't need to group anything. Take this piece and take that piece in this order. How do I know it? Because system already has done millions of it. It can process quickly and tell you which one to pick up. That's what AI enables today. So that clinical reasoning, if imagine a medical school student getting out of the medical school, going into a residency, you become an orthopedist. And just like in Matrix movie, you put that plug into the brain and make it like a neurologist at that point to fix a sacralization issue on a neurotic nerve or a nerve issue like that you have had over there. But instead of referring the patient at point of care real time, what do I have to do to avoid the other complication today before we follow a linear model? So that's why the clinical reasoning can apply at any point of time. That's what it gives you, all the tools you need that you can pick up and say, this is what I need right now. And it's not making a decision. It's painting the picture. Imagine this, right? I am seeing a patient. If I know 87% of the patient population has been treated in this entity with that treatment, gave positive outcomes. I don't, AI is just benchmarking, giving you that picture. It doesn't say, go do it. You're like, it's a good idea. But if you don't listen and you go on your own path, even though benchmarking tells you a different story, and if there's an outcome, the clinical reasoning will register the one that has a positive outcome. So that's where the AI is enabling by using that clinical reasoning. Am I making sense?
Yeah, no, I want to dig a little deeper to who some of your partners are. And because the patient clearly benefits because they're getting better care.
For
It's
sure.
some seamless, but they're not the ones paying you. Who's your partner? Who's your customer here? Who are you providing value to? Of course, the again, the patient's benefiting from having this technology integration into the system, but describe who your customer is and the types of partnerships you've already established because they're very significant.
Yeah, so I think I would say directly healthcare providers in a way, but we're talking about big systems. So we started in the past, maybe first 2 to 3 years, focus on different small subspecialties to expand our kind of umbrella of EMR integrations. We solved the interoperability problem. How do we connect? We enable data. But after learning different subspecialties, we started building milestones with American College of Cardiology first. That was the idea with American College of Cardiology was comorbidity management, how cardiovascular condition affects everything else. So our focus was complex conditions and what are the top ones that touch everything. Cardiovascular was one. We started with chronic pain that applies not only cardiovascular, oncology as well, and arthritis. And then third one was Mayo Clinic after we sold our practice where we trained our model to go and say, we have done this work and can we recalibrate and train and really validate our model with wide variety of data sets because you need real data for AI to learn and figure out patterns so you can do that. Going back, my customers are mostly providers, but the beautiful part of it, going back to your first question, AI scribe is just like a worker bee that does certain work. It's, let me use that
It's a
conversation.
feature within something. It's a
Correct, correct.
feature within something larger. Okay.
Exactly. So it's pretty much like a feature within something is AI scribe, or we have this reporting tool, a dashboard that tells us this, or we have a portal that can onboard the patient, or we have a tool that monitors patients in between. These are all like worker tools that does things we call it features. Now, all of these tools we're talking about, either AI scribes, reporting tools, dashboards, EMRs, they all need clinical reasoning at that point of time. And the best way to explain it, our healthcare system is you start with understanding the patient and figuring out what's the best outcome I can do this for the patient. But you're not free to make that decision because you are pretty much guarded by whatever payer, which is insurance companies, telling you, look, you're going to see that type of patients if they have done A, B, C, and D, and you can offer E if only they have done C and F together. Okay, so there's a big circle I need to operate around payer guidelines. There's a smaller circle which requires me follow-up protocols. But then there's the center of the circle, the patient today. What happened yesterday? What medications and complications? It's a very complex way of giving an opportunity to a provider to make a decision. What tools you can offer? AI Scribe will save them time for kind of documenting and recording it. There's a tool that you can interoperate, pull data, which connects data, records data, connects data. But you cannot reason without having a brain in the background. Now, doctors are great, but they cannot operate 300 million formulas and pattern recognition in a second. That's why you're seeing open evidence enabling that to see what outcomes that you can interact with.
And you're integrating the billing information, the payer information, the provider's information, and all within the context of the patient today. And
Exactly.
now you've got a holistic system that can reason and provide real-time insight, which is
Correct.
way, way different. So you're working with Mayo. You have two big deals or programs that are new that I think are really illustrative. One is with Mayo. You want to talk about both of them?
Sure,
I guess
sure.
the first one's around opioid.
Yeah. So Mayo Clinic platform is our reseller partner, and then it was a very big, long validation process because when you get into AI and clinical decision support, responsible, explainable, and trustable AI becomes important things that you can say, I can do things with AI, but is it really validated? So what we did through Mayo Clinic platform, they validated and qualified our solution. So now they're a full reseller. So they're actually, if you go to their Mayo Clinic platform website, opioid use predictive model is a fully white labeled solution, just like an Apple and Google app you would get and download with no issues. It's because tested and validated, and all the payment system is there. So Mayo Clinic platform is our reseller offering the solution to their network of hospitals. So that gives us, go ahead.
What's the program called exactly, or?
It's called Mayo Clinic Platform Network. So it's like a marketplace per se. So they qualify solutions that are going through their qualification process on a clinical. We are the clinical ones. They have administrative and operational tools also. While we're on opioids, I think we're the only one on a clinical decision support they qualified so far. So what it does is if you're an entity through their network and they want to use it, it's all automatically enabled in their system. So I can, as a hospital system, turn on that feature and it will give me immediately an opioid risk for a patient. So when I'm doing a prescription for a patient, it gives me the risk factors that I might not be aware of that second. If I'm a dentist, I'm going to just give you some oxycodone after the root canal, or you're an orthopedic surgeon, you're going to prescribe patient like some painkillers after a knee replacement and what have you. If I know the indicators that you're already in depression, you're using SSRIs, the dosage that you need to be working on, you're a great doctor, but there are some indicators and flags that you might not monitor at that point that can be a bad outcome for a patient. We identify that within their system through Mayo Clinic platform. So we don't reinstall this, they enable like turning that feature on pretty much. That's the Mayo Clinic platform reseller model.
So this is an opioid use disorder prediction tool that they've turned on, you're powering, and now the clinician knows at the point of care, hey, this issue I wasn't aware of means I should do X instead of Y. Now the patient is getting maybe better care or being protected, if you will, by the clinician in a different way because of the insights that you've provided in real time.
That is correct. That is correct. Yeah. Like
That's
real
incredible.
time is the key, right? If you have seen a therapist and you have seen a psychiatrist that changed your dose on depression, and now you're seeing a kind of pain provider, orthopedist, oncologist that will require them to prescribe opioids for whatever reason, you don't see a big picture of patient. This applies to any condition, right? You don't see the medication adverse effects or the complications. You're specialized in one area. You have an idea as a provider that this medication's great, but then there are complications in long term can cause harm, and you just don't see the picture. But if you tell, here's the benchmark in this population, what has happened in your closed loop environment, and this outcome looks that way, just so you know, is a big information at that point of time, because some prescriptions might have changed yesterday. So the data you interconnected and operating doesn't matter. It needs to be real time. Let's say AI Scribe as an example at that point of time. If I know those indicators, that will trigger certain questions to ask to the patient to avoid malpractice, liability, because the note should be generated with a different way of, I will say, medical necessity. I'll give you an example. This happened to me personally. I go and saw a vascular surgeon, but I did a screening with the varicose veins. And then if you say it hurts, it is covered with your insurance. If you don't say it hurts, then it's cosmetic. It's aesthetic, so it's not going to be covered in there. I don't know, as a patient and provider cannot disclose, hey, say it's hurting, so it's covered. So it's very tricky, right? So if I know to tell a patient, regardless, before they're onboarded, the system identifies your payer requirements and then fill forms, provide a Dallas pain assessment. You say it's actually 9 out of 10, it's a validated assessment they recognize. Now you have that. And that indicator that was triggered also will trigger a question. It looks like you've been having pain. Yes. And now I paired with the supporting documentation, even though payer says I cannot pay and cover this because those indicators, it's a fully covered medical necessity proven solution. And imagine this is proven because it has been already paid and approved. That's how the system knows.
Right. And you're doing something, I know another program, so we just talked about opioids, eating disorders,
Correct.
another issue. Talk a little bit about what you're doing there and who you're partnering with.
Yeah, so Eating Recovery Center, it's one of the largest, I think, standalone eating disorder entity with 36 entities across the US, over 1,000 providers. Now, eating disorders is also complex because four different providers are touching a single patient who might have eating disorders, psychiatric issues like maybe suicidal at one point. The patient is anorexic, so you need to also feed the patient. You need to have a nutritionist monitoring and a pediatrician because of age. Very complex. So, let alone an AI scribe tool, it will write a note. All the four different providers on a single patient on a treatment plan, you need to be very careful what kind of conversations you're having, writing it up. It needs to be done in a certain amount of time, certain level of care. Residential patients is different than intensive outpatient, and nutritionists should cover certain things. So it's a very complex treatment methodology. What we're doing with Eating Recovery Center is we put the brain behind the scenes. And we call it basically their tool is learning this by saying, this is how we generate a note at residential program for a 17-year-old patient who has been actually as part of Medicaid plan that requires this type of requirements to be addressed. That's what we're doing by building this into their EMR. So it's
Right.
basically running within the EMR. The conversations are done, and we just basically create the documents per provider for a single patient across the time and level of care. That's what we're doing for them in a similar method, complex cases, multi-comorbidity recognition and detection. And what's the acuity of really covering what kind of conversations in a note? Note, remember, it's we talk and it's a post-transcription. You will see the trend for AI scribes are going to talk about reasoning soon enough. You will hear more coming out. They will talk about platforms and what have you. Post-transcription is a feature, but did you do the right coverage real time to ask the right question or have the patient give you the indicators of it? When you generate a note, did you put those sections in the note as required, not only by payer guidelines, but society and clinical guidelines as well? So you're all doing this real time at point of care. It's not a linear model, it's more like, I know what to say. Now I got the real-time input. Here's the output.
It's way more of a closed loop system that's actually adding value during the process of care and
Correct.
just unbelievable.
Correct.
Okay, last
Yeah.
question. What are you most excited about coming down the pipe? It's just a new world. You guys, as we talked about, have been on the forefront. I know you've got so many conversations and so many, everybody's calling you because you've been ahead of the curve on this. Who should be reaching out to you? What are you most excited about? And leave us with the positive focus for the future.
Yeah, anybody in the care journey is looking for closing a loop with any white space that will create anything for them to help with clinical reasoning. From the examples we have talked, we're here to fill in the gaps. And I keep telling this unity to people, we're not selling a tool to replace any feature, any technology. We're not replacing systems, people, or workflows. We optimize them. So this medical necessity clinical reasoning is optimizing the system in different ways. So either you're doing it yourself or you already invested in tools. We actually have a clinical reasoning trained on over 12 million po data points. What I'm excited about is we did the hard work. It's going into the market, and I think there's going to be time that other entities or platforms are going to close that gap. But for now, we feel very secure and comfortable to go out there and say, we're here, we have customers, we have validation qualifications as well. We're putting footprints in eating disorders. We're also putting that clinical brain into the government space with beneficiaries, active military and VA and people in the military that we're going to provide the same brain, same clinical intelligence. We have a lot of partnerships coming up in that space as well. We're already Oracle partner officially. We're growing in that space in the government. So I think within the next 6 months, we have papers that we are waiting to get announcements to be published in the AI space. So those are quick indicators I can tell you what I'm excited about.
I love it. So people go to cliexa.com, CLIEXA.com,
Yes,
and get
and
in touch with Mehmet. Absolutely extraordinary innovator, always on the cutting edge. And
thank you.
what I love about what you're doing is what you said there a minute ago, you're not changing the workflow, you're optimizing it. You're not taking over the clinician's job, you're optimizing them, empowering them. You're not changing how the patient interacts. You're actually just giving them a better outcome and better experience. Thank you for the work you're doing. And this was great to catch up. And I'm looking forward to seeing you at somewhere soon. We're doing a
Yeah.
big event in June next in New York City. I hope you come
We'll
June 16th.
love to be there. We'll
Yeah.
love to be there. And then thanks for having me and great questions, Unity. Always great
Amazing.
to catch up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, an invitation to all of the extraordinary health transformers, whether you are a startup, someone building the future of health, or whether you are an investor, funder, or buyer of the solutions out there in the marketplace, this is an invitation to you to join the Startup Health member community. Learn more at startuphealth.com. Look forward to hopefully seeing you soon.